We're going to talk about the fullness of God. Anybody in here who would like to be filled with the fullness of God?
Yes.
Yeah? Is that what we want? Well, Ephesians tells us how to do it, so we're just going to go check that out. Father, we do want to be filled with all the fullness of you. That's our desire. That's our heart. Hopefully that's your heart and plan and desire for us. I know it is. God, we just want you to open your word to us today and breathe life. This isn't anything new. It's been in your word. We've read it. We've prayed it. But God, today, just breathe new life. Open it like it's never been opened before. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I love last night Nate was talking about how simple this gospel is, how simple it is, you know, and we complicate everything. And then Glenn said this morning, he just kept hearing the word simple, simple, simple. Everything with God is simple. We can make it real complex, but it comes right back down to simple. God is love. He is love. And we have so many ideas about what love is and what love means and how love should act and what it should do. And a whole lot of times our concept of love is what somebody else is doing for me. Which is the total opposite of what love really means. Because with God, love is all about laying down your life for someone else. It's all about giving and forgiving and patience and believing in someone and enduring. And, you know, I got thinking this week because he's kind of been talking to me about love all week long. And, you know, I don't think I shared. I didn't even talk last week, so I know I didn't share it. After talking about mothering, I had a really unique experience. I shared it with a few people, but I had a real unique experience. And it was like I was in the presence of God, and like he brought the presence of my mother there, who's already in heaven. And my mom and I became good friends when she was older. She was a very wounded person and expressed her love in different ways. But as I got older and Mom and I were both getting closer to God, we were very, very good friends. She was like my closest friend. We did everything together. I never had a lot of friends that I hang out with. I've always been more family-minded, you know, Mom and me, and then I pass that on to my kids are my best friends. But I could not picture cuddling with my mom, like, you know, just getting up her lap, cuddling, you know, the mothering, the affectionate, touchy-feely things. I couldn't picture that with her. I could picture it with God, but not with her. But when her presence came into that vision, her eyes were filled with tears. And she was saying, "I'm so sorry. I didn't even know how you felt. I didn't even realize it." And I just, something happened inside of me, the total healing and just so much affection and love and healing between my mom and I, so that all of a sudden I felt the full release of mothering from her toward me. And it did something in me. It created a love for her in me that understood the verse, "Love covereth a multitude of sins." Now, I had talked about things my mom had done that really hurt me in the past. And I loved her and I forgave her, but I share a lot of those things in her healing in order to help other people who are going through similar things. But all of a sudden, it was like, I don't ever want to share anything negative about my mother again. I never want to bring any shame or embarrassment. I wanted to cover every sin she had ever done. I didn't want anyone to know, because I loved her so much. I didn't want anyone to know anything she ever did wrong or ever have a bad thought toward her. Then I understood love covers a multitude of sin. When you really love someone, you don't expose them. You allow them to share things. The closer you get to them, the more you know. I mean, you know, that's really sad, but we're all sinners, you know. So, like, the closer you get to us, the more of our sin you see. The closer you get to a friend, the more good you see, but also the more of their failure you see. and they disappoint you. But the more you love someone, the more you pray for them, you forgive them, confront them if you have to, but you don't want others to think bad of them. It's easiest to understand that when you think of your child. You want everybody to love your kids. You may say all kinds of things about them, but you're ready to pull your hair out at the stuff they're doing, but somebody else better not do that. Man, they're just horrible if they talk about your kids. So you go to your kids and you try to help them stop sinning. But you don't tell everybody else everything that they do because you want people to like them. You want people to love them. That's why we brag on our kids. So that verse, love covers a multitude of sins, exposed something in the heart of God of how so many years he's so patient. So patient. All those years we didn't even know him. We didn't accept him. We didn't include him in our life. We rejected him. We even got mad and blamed him for the bad things that happened. We did all kinds of sinful, wicked things. And God patiently, patiently kept pursuing us, waiting for us. And he's still patiently pursuing us and waiting for us. There is no greater love. And when I think about that, because I didn't meet him until I was 23. And when I met him, it was like, even as a shy person, I had to tell everybody, I'm running out telling everybody, God is real. He's real. And he loves you. And he'll change your whole life, everything. You just got to come to him. And people are going, I do not want to hear that. I'm going, how could somebody not want to hear that? That's the simplicity of the gospel. He took all your sin and died for you. And he loves you. We all crave love. We hunger for love. We spend our life finding people to love us. Here's the one who loves us. And people are going, I don't want to hear about him. I don't understand that, except for the blindness, that they just don't see how loved they are and what God has for them. So I want to talk about his love because, you know, we've been talking a lot about get ready, get ready, get ready. We want to get ready for the great moves of God that are coming, and we want God to choose this place. We want God to live in us, through us. I want the fullness of God in me. And what do we mean when we want the fullness of God in us? What does that mean? What is the fullness? All the fullness of God. What does it come down to meaning? Does it mean I want to rock around with the power to heal the sick? Well, that'd be nice. Does it mean I want to go around and make the old people young and the fat people thin and the sick people well and just get everybody to come and get saved and repent of their sin and be nice to their wife? And is that what it means, power? I want to be in a room when it rains inside the room and when lights fill the room and angels, you can see them. Is that what it means? What is all the fullness of God mean? It means all that he is. It means who he is. And that all comes down to simplicity. God is love. God is love. I'm going to go a little bit backwards. We're going to be in Ephesians 3. I have Ephesians 3 printed and hanging on my wall because I pray it over myself and over this church. It is my prayer for this church and for me. I'm going to go backwards because I want to start with the verse that talks about all the fullness of God and then go back. I want to start, it actually has to start in 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. It starts with the first simplicity. You have to accept Christ. He has to come to dwell inside of you. Then you have to be rooted and grounded in love. Isn't God simple? Accept Christ and then get rooted and grounded in love. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And there's the outline. You have to accept Christ. You have to learn who he is and understand the awesome, the bigness, the unsearchable richness of his love so that God can dwell in you. It comes through love. It comes through knowing Christ experientially in love. If we don't have him inside of us, and if we don't get rooted in his love, If we don't grow in this love relationship, we cannot be filled with the fullness of God, because the fullness of God is love. So let's go back to verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me toward you. I want to stop there because I'm speaking for Apostle Harvey and myself. There is a grace of God that has planted you in our spirit. There is a dispensation or an outpouring of this divine influence of God, the grace of God on us, for you. He has called us. He has made us a prisoner to this ministry for you. Because that's what love is. It's lay down your life for someone else. Now, I'm going to side note that. We may not lay it down the way you wish we laid it down. Because love doesn't always look like we have imagined it to look. God's love does what's good for us. And children, when the parents are doing what's good for them, and they want candy and they're getting spinach, and they want to cross the street and they're confined to the yard, they're not seeing that as love. They're seeing it as rules, control, dictatorship. Wait till I'm grown up and I'm going to cross the road and eat the candy and do whatever I want. And you probably get run over and then die from diabetes or something, you know, because you did whatever you wanted. We learn that authority is for us. And I promise you, Harvey and I don't like, we don't want to be dictators that say, how many of these people can we get to do what we tell them to do to fulfill what we want? God has told us this is a training center to train you, release you into what you're called to do. But we cannot release you into what you're called to do until you grow up in the love of Christ. So I have prayed this over Harvey and I. How by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Paul's mystery was this, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That was where he was made a minister. Verse 7, he was made a minister according to the gift of grace that is God has given to me by the effectual working of his power. Now, God has made known to us some mysteries here about you. He has told us these people that you're going to minister to and train are called to be end-time ministers. We're getting close to some things happening. They need to be trained. They need to be ready. There's going to be rescuing people when disasters hit. There's going to be healing people. You know, when we rescue people, it doesn't just mean we have the blankets and pillows and we have the food and medicine. It means we have to have the love of God. Because he's not as interested in rescuing a body as he is rescuing a soul.
Right.
We need to get them to Christ. We need to love them with his love because ours isn't enough. So we need to pray. What is the mystery of this ministry? What is the purpose of this ministry? How do we fulfill it? How do we get there? One thing that just keeps coming to me is we are stuffy old religious people. We got to get out of that. You know, if we have a room full of five-year-olds, they have freedom. They have freedom. You know, you take somebody little, like Tempe. I said it real quiet so she wouldn't hear it because she's shy. But you bring her up to an adult, she's hiding. She won't speak. But you take her down to the park and there's kids, she runs right up to them and makes friends. That's because kids are open. I mean, if you run up to a kid and say, hey, you want to be my friend, and they don't, they're going to go, no, I don't want to be your friend. Now, if it's with Tempe, they might get a fist in the face. But then they'll also say, yes, I want to be your friend, let's play. Why aren't we free? We are proud. We are self-conscious. We're afraid. We don't trust anybody. And life has taught us to be that. Defend me, protect me, keep me in my little spot here, and I can only get free with the people I trust, and I don't trust anyone. How is God going to flow through us? You know, I saw this picture of Christ, the bridegroom, you know, because the church is his bride. And he goes after every person. His Father sent him down to earth, and now he goes by Spirit after each one, and he says, come be my bride. Come be my bride. Come be mine. Come be one with me. And when we say yes, Christ comes to live in us. Then he takes us back to Daddy God, Mommy God, and he says, here she is. I have another one. But I can't partner with her yet because she's still a little wounded child. I need you to parent her for me. I need you to heal her. I need you to train her and prepare her and raise her like a good parent until she is ready. Well, when we're ready, it means we don't take offense easy anymore. It means that we're so healed by our parenting that God does that now we have confidence in Him. Now we have security in Him. Now we have the love, the friendship, everything we craved in Him. So when people hurt us, we run back to Him and get healed. We can forgive them because our expectation is not in them anymore. I'm not looking to my fleshly mother and father and sister and brother, even husband, saying, I have needs. You have to meet my needs. I don't know how to pump gas, but it's okay. Glenn did it for me. I do have needs that he meets, but God meets my needs through him. When he goes off to Israel or Africa and I don't have a husband, God is my husband. He gives us mates, and they do complete us, and they do things for us. But we need to remember it's God we depend on. Right. It's God we expect from. Because when you put it on another human, they fail you and hurt you, and you draw deeper back in that shell. I'm not trusting anyone again. I know, because it's our tendency. I still want to do that when someone hurts me. But we have to learn, are we going to partner with Christ? And what does it mean? All the fullness of God living in us is only going to be received when we know experientially the love of Christ. Not the love of man, because the love of man is still selfish. And the love of man at its very best is still weak and failing. But the love of Christ, the height, the depth, the length, the width, the breadth, the unsearchable riches of the love of Christ, they're not. And that's where we have to learn to live, allowing that kind of love to dwell in us. We don't always feel it. I don't think God always feels it. When we're being ornery little rebellious brats, I don't think he's all full of soft, cuddly, oh, my sweet little honey Harvey, you're so cute. Sometimes he's going, good thing for you that I have long-suffering patience, son. So I won't just blow you away with my anger today. Because you are really not walking right in love. When we hurt each other, it makes the father angry. You get angry when one of your kids hurts another one of them. You get angry, but you still love them. We put love in the way people have loved us. My mom bought me lots of things. She bought us so many clothes, so many gifts. And that's how my mother loved. So now when I meet a friend that doesn't give me gifts, does that mean they don't love me? If your mother hugged you and kissed you, but you meet a friend that never hugs and kisses, does it mean they don't love you? Everybody loves in different ways. But God's love meets every need. He meets every need. Unto me, verse 8, Paul said, who am least, less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. If they're unsearchable, how can we preach them? You got an answer for that? What's the answer for that? Revelation. By revelation he made known unto us. When God positions you with another person, you're all positioned with someone. There's someone in your life He has put inside of your heart, and you're a God's position in their life. He will give you the revelation how to love them, what they need, what they don't need, even when they're mad at you because you don't give them what they want. God will do it if you will let Him freely do it. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden, God, who created all things by Christ Jesus Christ. To the intent. Now, there was a reason God brought revelation. And now we're going to see the reason that God revealed all these things to Paul. According to the eternal purpose. I'm sorry, 10. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. There's some real rich things in this chapter. We want to be filled with the fullness of God. How about if we had the manifold wisdom of God as a church? Wouldn't that be fantastic? That's His intent. That's His plan, is that His church can have revelation that gives us the full, wide range of the wisdom of God. We should be getting that. Why aren't we? We're going to find out. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, all of God's purposes, He's got some plans with a purpose. And all of them come right back to, they're in Jesus. They're hidden in Jesus. You want to know all the mysteries? In Christ. You want to know who God is? In Christ. What is His plan? It's in Christ. What is Christ's plan? To get a bride. To get a bride. Why does He picture it as Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride? And when is that marriage fully consumed? When we go into heaven, when the whole body of the church is gathered into heaven. What is God up to? I have no idea. In eternity, this is an eternal purpose. Who is going to be married to Christ, partnered with Christ, to do some eternal things, is the church. It's the church. That's us, His bride. Are we ready? According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I have boldness to walk into the throne room of God. I have access to the Holy Spirit of God. Am I using that boldness? Am I walking through that door into the presence of God? If I have faith in Christ, I have that ability, I have that right to walk right up to God. Am I doing it? Wherefore I desire you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. You know, I'm glad that Paul threw that in, because this is also exciting, everything we got in God, and then he throws in his tribulations. If you are going to lay down your life for another person, you're going to get tribulations. It's not going to be an easy road. For this cause, what cause? I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. For what cause? We're about to hear it. Verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted means to be stable. Have deep, sinking roots into the love of Christ. Why do we need deep roots? So that we stand in His love. Somebody comes at you and they're being mean and wicked to you and you want to hate them. That's human nature. You want to reject them. You want to hate them. You want to avoid them. You want to talk about them. You want to get everybody on your side against them. But if you're rooted in His love, you're not going to be able to do that. even if it causes you for a moment to start doing it, you quickly go back down that route and say, God wants me to forgive them. God wants me to love them. God, I can't love them. But my roots are in you, Christ. So I have to tap into those roots till I get down into the inner man and let him do what I can't and let his love begin to flow up through those roots and out into my life to do what I can't do. He is simple. He does it all. We just need to let him. Everything he wants to do, we need to let him. You know, we're not a do religion. We're a relationship religion. But in relationship causes doing. It will cause the doing. If the Holy Spirit is inside of you and you're rooted in the love of Christ, the love of Christ constraineth you. It makes you control yourself. It makes you not do the thing you want to do, and it makes you do the thing you don't want to do. It takes control of you because you're so rooted in love with him that you have to give in to the love. I want to see us become the most radical, free church in Grand Rapids. Let's start there, and then we can move through Michigan and see how far that can go. Let's be radical. What does that mean? There's an inner man in you. There's a Holy Spirit trapped in you who has so much he wants to give and do. But we have this level of social acceptance and fear and pride and all of this that when he starts rising up and it comes to our conscious mind, I want you to get up and run around the room. You go, oh, nobody else is doing that. I'm not doing that. Shh. Be quiet, Jesus. I'm not doing that. Just let me be normal. You like normal? I don't like normal. I do not like normal. Normal is boring. What if everybody else is running around the room and Jesus says, sit down and be quiet. But I don't want to look different. They're running. I want to run. Why are we a bunch of lemmings? We want to do what everybody's doing. You know, seriously, why do we follow the crowd? Why don't we follow the Spirit? Let's follow the Spirit. Because when we do, we're not going to look stupid. God's going to touch somebody. God's going to win somebody. God's going to love somebody. God's going to get to do something. If you're rooted. Then we may be able. Now, there's a plan here. First, you've got to accept Christ. Then you've got to be rooted in love with him. And then you can start to comprehend with other saints, because there's unity and accountability, the breadth and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, so you can be filled with the fullness of God. You will never be a fully equipped, flowing minister in power until you know the love of Christ, until you fully begin to experience. You know how you can experience his love? By letting it flow. There's a love that comes towards you, and we accept that. That's easy. You can go in your room all by yourself, lay on your bed and say, pour it on, God. Oh, man, God came on me today, and I felt so much love and healing and awesomeness, and I've been there, and I've experienced that, and it's wonderful. That's how it starts. You want to feel a greater extent of it? Let that love flow out of you to someone else. I'm telling you, that is like multiplied. When you let that love flow out of you, that's when you're experiencing Christ, because the first expression is only for you, from him to you. But God is, his love is a love that has to give. See, when you're taking his love in, you're receiving it. So for you to fully experience it in its greatest power is to experience giving it. If you're not in unity when he is giving it, you have not experienced the greatest power of love. It is powerful. It is awesome. It just changes everything when you let it flow out of you. And the other thing is, if you spend enough years just taking in, there'll come a point where you go, man, it seems like I don't experience God like I used to. That's because you're growing up a little bit, and He wants you to stretch out of your cocoon and reach out, let Him reach out to someone else. And you, oh, it's so freeing. It's what you were created to do. And because it's what you're created to do, you're not fully even going to find out who you are until you let God flow through you to someone else. A lot of someone else's probably. And why aren't we experiencing all of this? Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We're not asking. We're simply not asking enough. God can do way more than you can even think of to ask Him for. But what are you asking Him for? Are you asking Him to pay your rent? Are you asking Him to heal your arthritis? Are you asking Him to save your brother? Are you asking Him for gas money? Well, what are you asking Him for? Let's start asking Him. I want to be filled with the fullness of you, God. I want to know this love that passes all knowledge. I want to be an open vessel so you can flow through me. I want you to transform me. I want you to grant me repentance. Deliver me from the fear and the pride and the hiding and the stupidity of just worrying about this life all the time. God, I want you to change my thinking. I want you to do this. I want Ephesians 3 to live in me and in my church. I want our church to be an Ephesians 3 church. God, do something. And then when you don't know what else to say, pray in tongues if you know how. And then when you don't know what else to say, come back and hold Him to His word. Okay, now God, I've asked you, but I'm not hungry enough. I'm not desperate enough. I'm not wanting enough. I'm too satisfied. I'm too complacent. I'm too lazy. Maybe I like where I'm at. You know, one day we keep going, God has a suddenly. God has a suddenly. God has a suddenly. Oh, when is that suddenly day going to come? And then one day the Holy Spirit said, when it does, you might wish it didn't. You might say, but we were so comfortable and everything was so easy. Suddenly is not always good. But it is coming. But we need to hunger for more. We need to be desperate for more. God said a season of real prayer will open a season of real power. What is real power? Love. The love of God is real power. A season of real prayer right here. God, I want this. I want the riches of Christ. I want the fullness of your love. I am too complacent. Stir me up. Make me desperate. Make me hungry. Change my prayer life. Holy Spirit, rise up in me and pray for me because I don't even know how to pray for myself. I kept having a vision. I don't know. It's probably been a year or two. I keep seeing me standing on the beach. And Jesus is out there on the water. And it's the ocean. I'm terrified of the ocean, by the way. A lot of people have tried to get me to go on a cruise. I won't go on the ocean. I'm scared to death of it. Cold water, sharks biting your legs off. I don't like any of that stuff, you know. I don't even like to be on a boat. I got on a little motorboat with my daughter to go around her little lake. And the whole time I'm staring at our house thinking, how fast can we get around this lake? I want land under my feet. I don't like being on water. We were almost back to her house, and she says, look, there's a cut through. She cut through to another lake. I mean, I'm never getting on this boat again. I don't like the ocean. But God tells me that my name that He gave me, Oshia, means the ocean. And I've been in visions under the ocean, in all the colors, and in the caves. And visions, I love the ocean. You know, I don't ever get bit by a shark. But I kept seeing me standing on the shore, and Jesus is out there standing on the water, and He's saying, to get where I am, you'll have to walk on water. That's do the impossible. And then He doesn't even tell me what to do. You know, He's like dangling a piece of chocolate in front of your hungry face. Want a bite? Want a bite? You know, He's out there saying, here I am. Come to me. I'm going, how? I don't know how. So I've been prayer walking in my big room downstairs. It used to be a swimming pool, so all the tile around the area is blue. So the other day, there he is out on the water, and the music is playing, and they're singing something. And all of a sudden, you know, I was singing along with them, and it was good. And suddenly I went, you know, that's their worship. I want to sing from my heart what I want to say to God, where I want to be with God. I want to make up my own song. And man, I started singing, I want to walk on water. Jesus, I want to walk on that water. How do I walk on the water? Please let me get out on the water. I want to ride the waves with you. I want off this land. I'm tired of standing in the sand and in the dirt. I want to walk that water. Tell me how. Call me out. Tell me to come like you did Peter. As soon as you say come, I can do it. Come on, God. I want on the water with you. I got desperate. Now, I texted Nate something. Because he's text monster over here. He texts all the time, everybody. So he's texting, and I'm saying, I had good prayer time about walking on water. Well, I didn't say it right, because he thought I got to walk on water. So he's texting me back, you're on the water. I want to hang out with you. You're on the water. And he's all excited. I didn't even talk to him for 3 days, because I was not on the water. I just want to be on the water. I didn't get to go there that day. But I'm going to, because he can do more than I ask him for. And he's the one who's dangling that temptation for me. So he's going to get me on that water. What are you asking him for? What do you do during worship? We didn't even sing last night. We just talked about this. What do you do? Do you just sing along with what they're singing? That's a good way to get started. But get, what's your own worship? What's your own worship? What's inside of you? What do you want to ask God for? Maybe today you need to get up and run around the room and start asking him for something with some desperation and heat in it, you know? What it is you want to ask him for? Where do you want to be with him? How much do you want to know his love? How much are you willing to whatever the Spirit's wanting to flow through you that you're going to let him do or say or go? Get hungry. If you're not hungry, just put your hand on your own belly where your spirit lives. God, make me hungry. I'm complacent. I'm not stirred. Stir me up. Make me hungry. Call me out of this place. Get me, God. Wake me up spiritually. Now, maybe you've got hurts and you just need to beg him for your healing. I mean, maybe you're not running and shouting. Maybe you need to go sit somewhere and weep. God, please heal me. God, please save that child. Maybe there's a desperation on your heart. But cry out, because he can do exceedingly, abundantly above anything you're going to ask him for this morning. Jesus, I like you. You're so awesome. I want to know you deeper. I want to know your love way beyond any way I've ever known it to this point in my life. God, I want to be an open vessel. You can flow through and do anything, say anything, go anywhere, but mostly, I want to be filled with all the fullness of who you are. And who you are is so vast, so huge, so uncomprehendable and wonderful. But that's what I want, because you tempted us to want it. So please do it in the name of Jesus. Amen.